Well, we have something special today. The conclusion. You're getting a handout. Believe it or not, we're old school today. Well, not quite old school. It would have been really old school if Kim Shoemaker, where is Kim? Over here. If she hadn't responded to my text to make my scratchy notes into a presentation. So she did it. So let's give a shout out to Kim Shoemaker. Woo! So this is number 5, actually. I'm not going to go through the whole story of how Judy manipulated me into doing this, but she wanted to know how to prepare for Jesus' return, and so one short message that was supposed to be just a question and an answer in the Outback Room turned into four messages, and now turned into 5 because Jen's recuperating, and she was scheduled for today because of the men's retreat, and so here I am, and here you are. So there must be some reason. Amen. Amen. So we're going to prepare for Jesus' return. This is the conclusion. And if what you hear today interests you, you can go back on our website and find the previous 4 messages. Oh, by the way, this is Nancy, the love of my life for 49 years. All right. Isn't that something? We can't imagine. I mean, you can't imagine. How can you people be married for 49 years? And we dated 4 years before that? Anyway, that's beside the point. All right, so, did you know that 2 of the guys that got baptized today were my grandsons? Did you? Asher and Colin, right? And now Nick's my grandson in the spirit, right? It's great to have a lot of grandkids in the Lord. Yeah, I talked to them at Elevate a while back. Grandchildren in the Lord. Whew, I guess that makes us old, honey. All right, so this, you've got your hand out, so you could leave now if you want to. You got everything right there in print. Paul asked the question, what about Israel? And I know that Candace Owens, who's an influencer, has been, because I know this because Judy told me. Did you? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. Somebody, maybe it was Duff, who knows. And it told me that Candace Owens has got a lot of followers, and she's been telling people on that Israel, that the purpose of Israel is done, that they've been replaced by the church, the new Israel. And and I just wanted to go over this real quickly, because they always pick out a verse or two in Romans 9 to make their point, to say that the church has replaced Israel. And Bethany texted me a while back and said, should we always support Israel? And my response, Bethany, was, yes, 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 yes. Exclamation points, like, you know. Israel is God's chosen people. And the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then King David, we're going to see they are irrevocable. When God makes a promise, like we sang today, the promise he made to me. How many of you here got a promise from God that you're saved and going to heaven? Yeah, you got a promise. How many of you think, well, that's irrevocable? Wait a minute, Ali raised his hand, but then no, I change, I want a do-over. The promises of God are irrevocable. If he makes a promise, he's not an Indian giver where he goes back on his word, all right? So anyway, we're going to read, I've got some scriptures, and Nancy's here to help me read. Because I have to save my voice, because sometimes I get excited and I start shouting, and then I got to have my voice.
Wow, that's small up there. I got to turn and read it here.
Well, I had to keep my slides down in number.
I see. Okay. Are we going to read it together?
We're going to read it aloud together. Can you all read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? All right.
Okay,
can
ready?
You read it up in the balcony? You guys up on the shelf, can you read it? All right, cool, good. All right. Nancy's going to lead you.
You ready? Okay. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers.
For the sake of who?
The fathers.
Who's the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I always throw King David in because he's my favorite guy.
For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy.
All right, so when you read the Apostle Paul, right, like one chapter is usually like one sentence, you know, and so when you read like chapter 9, 10, and 11, right, those are all one thought. And so you can't just, and I'm always shouting, context, context, context. If you read a verse and you think, oh, read everything before it, everything after it, chapters before, chapters after, you want to understand why was this verse written, okay? So if you pick out something in the beginning, and I mean, we live in a society that does that all the time. They grab little snippets here, little snippets there, and they put it out there as ultimate truth, right? That is a deception in and of itself. If you want to know what the truth is, hear everything said before and everything said after. Well, that would take time and effort. Yeah. Do you want to know truth, or are you just looking for something to promote your prejudices? Come on. What was that? I don't have a phone. Anyway, what we have here is the conclusion. I didn't write the whole conclusion, but this is the end of the chapter. And so he's making up his summary. And he's saying that, yes, Israel did kill Jesus. I'm summarizing it now. And they paid the price. They were dispersed and persecuted, we're going to say, for 1,948 years. Paul didn't know how long it was going to be, right? They were punished. But at some time, there's going to be a remnant that's going to restore Israel. And when that's restored, and I'm going to be, this is going to be in our, when that's restored, that becomes the start of the clock of the end times. Everybody say, end times. End times. End times. So, his argument, because he wrote these three chapters because people were saying back then exactly what Candace Owens is saying now, exactly what John Calvin said, exactly what the replacement theology people say. Oh, Israel's no more because now there's the church, and they have replaced the church, and baptism of infants has replaced circumcision of the Jew, and now we are the new Israel. Blech. Every time those verses are used, they're used out of context and twisted to make a point. Nobody wants their kids to go to hell. Everybody wants to assure that their kids go to heaven. And what's the best way to do that? Make a doctrine that says, well, if I sprinkle some water on them and say some words over them, they're going to go to heaven. That's not true. And the Bible does not say that. But anyway, Israel, the remnant will be saved. And so obviously this one slide could be a whole sermon. Am I right? But we're not going to do that today because we got 17 slides. All right. Oops. Now we have to go back. Okay. Everybody say, the promises are irrevocable.
Promises are irrevocable.
The promises God gave to Abraham are irrevocable.
Promises God gave to Abraham are irrevocable.
And he promised him that out of his descendants would come the Savior of the world.
That out of his descendants would come the Savior of the world.
And that his descendants would be on the earth to, here, get ready for this big word, perpetuity. Perpetuity. You know what perpetuity means? Forever. Forever. All right. Let's go to number two on our first slide. Revelation 12, 1 to 17, which we're not going to read all 17. I understand how crazy this stuff sounds. I realize it sounds fantastical. That's a word, is it? Right? Fantastical?
One, I always of, your, check with one Lisa, of your words.
She's my word, my
spell one of your words. Your daughters can add it to their book.
Yeah. My daughter used to keep a little notebook of dad's wordsmiths. All right. So, but the Bible makes very clear that all the evil in the world is caused because there is an opponent to God named Satan, the devil, Lucifer. He was the morning star. He was the greatest of all the angels. He led the praise in heaven. And then he said, I'm going to become like God. In fact, I'm going to overthrow God. And so if you read Revelation 12 in its complete, you'll see that a third of the angels said, yeah, we want Lucifer and not Yahweh. And there was a rebellion, there was a revolt in heaven, and the devil and one third of the angels got cast down to the earth. Well, they got cast down to the heavens initially. When Christ rose from the dead, they got cast down to the earth. So guess where all the bad stuff comes from that's on the earth? Let's read our next. Yeah, all right, let's read this. This is Revelation 12.
And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child.
Okay, but who's the woman? Israel. Who's the child? Jesus.
Yeah. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman.
Who's the eagle? The United States. If the United States did not exist, Israel would not be a nation today. We have more Jews that live in the United States than the rest of the world. That's where they took their shelter. All right.
So that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
I could talk about that for a while. Anyway, the river, the water is persecution. And we are in this place of history that we can look back and we can see how, you know, with all the persecution that's come to the Jews and how they survived it because of the nourishment that God gave them, because God's promise was, you're not going to be destroyed. I've promised it to Abraham. So anyway, the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So is anybody here one of those? If you're one of those, raise your hand. We're not, is this a trick question? Do you hold to the testimony of Jesus? All right. Then what's the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, trying to do with you? Make war. Anybody here feel like you're in a war with some unseen foe? I think of it more like a chess match, right? When Asher's always asking me to play chess, right? And I'm like, oh, man, here comes.
Defeat.
Humiliation, right? So anyway, you know, but I mean, you know, 50 years in the ministry, we have felt like we're playing chess with the devil. He's like always trying to make these moves and put me in checkmate or put us in checkmate. And he's like, I gotcha. And then all of a sudden, God gives us, oh no, I gotta move. And I move over, you know. But that's how it is in life. If you're a Christian, you're making war with the devil, and he's always trying to do a gotcha. He's always trying to get you in a situation where the consequences drag you under and make you drown. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, those who endure to the end, they shall be saved. I'm an endurer. You an endurer, Nancy? Anybody else here an endurer? All right. I guess we'll see. As Lloyd says, time will tell. Oh, we got to go back. I think I have. Number three, Satan's deception. False prophets. Nietzsche, Marx, and Darwin, semicolon, Muhammad. All right, I got to, this was all back. I'm going to try to write another book this winter on all this stuff. And why I believe that Nietzsche, Marx, and Darwin are the false prophets of Revelation. And how they have swayed more people to atheism than anybody else. I mean, ever. And they have worldwide recognition. They are accepted in all the universities of the world. Their theories are taught. And kids are coming out of college by the hundreds of thousands believing that Nietzsche was right, God is dead, that Marx was right, that capitalism is of the devil, and Darwin was right. Oh, we've all evolved from slime all by accident. And as a result, people are living their lives without hope, without meaning, without purpose, and without direction. Amen. Freedom! I'm speaking the truth in love, right? Don't feel hated. I love every person in this. Did we talk about false prophets? Oh, yeah, that's what we talk about. Nietzsche, yeah, Darwin, Marx, false prophets. They've written entire books that have been accepted, and it's all garbage. Let's read Matthew 24:11, just so we can, this is what Jesus said.
Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many.
I mean, we're talking billions. We're talking a majority of the human race is deceived by the false prophets. Let's read Matthew 24:24.
For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect.
Who's the elect? Anybody been here for the first four? Who's the elect? What's the Greek word? Ekklesia. And ekklesia means what?
Called out.
Called out. Sometimes translated chosen. Jesus said, no one can come to me lest the Father draws them. If you felt drawn, I'm holding this big book here. If you feel drawn, right? That's God the Father drawing you into Jesus. And, I mean, you know, I came kicking and screaming, you know, by my boot. Okay. You know? But if the Father draws you, you're coming, man. You're going to get wet for Jesus. All right. Even the elect. All right. I think that was, yeah. All right. So, again, we're talking about what you need to know. So we're just doing like, and this is on your handout. And you can even make notes on your handout if you want. I mean, sometimes I say things worth writing down. I mean, not often, but sometimes. Okay, so what are the signs that reveal that we are in the end times? Okay, let me first of all go over the three words used in the New Testament. Epochs, ages, and times. You can think of day, hour, and minutes if you want to just have a visualization in your mind. An epoch is the big one, right? And the epoch we're in right now is humans rule, right? What was the epoch before humans ruled? Dinosaurs. You know. Then there's ages, right? So an epoch is a day. An age is an hour. Right now, we are in the age of grace. Whosoever will believe in me, Jesus said, he shall be born again and have eternal life. We just read about Israel getting mercy, right? Paul said, you are now in the age of mercy, right? Mercy is God's willingness to forgive and forget. Grace is his willingness to give you his power to live for him, okay? This is the age of mercy and grace, where sins are forgiven and wiped out, and God gives us his grace to live for him in the face of persecution and hatred by those who don't follow him. And then there's times. Times are the minutes. There are, you know, and this is pretty much like the current time. But we are now in, officially, the end times. Okay? And I already told you what initiated the end times. What was it? What started the clock? Israel's as a nation restored. 1948. The clock, it's like if I have my phone, I start my, you know, like we're shooting and timing ourselves. How many times can you hit the gong in, right, Asher, would you hold the record maybe? Well, Duff will argue with that. But you know, can you hit the 50-yard gong in, I mean, my record's 8 seconds. 9 out of 10 times, 8 seconds. Have you beat that, Asher? Yeah, he says, yeah, I don't think so. If Duff was here, he would refute that for sure. Anyway, why did I bring that up?
Talking about times.
Oh, times. End times. Oh, starting the timer. Starting the timer. When Israel was declared a nation, bam, the timer began. Time, times, and half a time. 3.5 times. You think, oh, it's a time. I don't know. Okay. Now let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:1.
Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you.
Okay, so which of the three does Paul not refer to here? Ages, right. All right, let's read Matthew 12.
Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come.
So what? So Jesus said, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, Jesus is sitting there talking. He's not dead yet. What age is he living in? Still old covenant? Oh, it's like a trick question. Asher's like, I want to get 100 on this test. All right? The new covenant has not come. Jesus is not dead yet. It's not the age of grace yet. It's the age of law. The age of law. Okay? Either in this age or in the age to come. What was the age to come? Grace! My voice changed. Grace! With shouts of grace, this headstone shall be put in place. Zechariah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, did we read Matthew 24? No. All right. Matthew 20. Again, Jesus uses the word grace. All right.
As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?
The end of this age, right? So now we know we're in the, he's, you know, so the end of this age that he's talking about is actually the age of law, right? All right. So let's go on to the five fulfilled signs and two unfulfilled signs. We're going to go over these real quick because I talked about these in depth in the other four messages. First of all, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jews were dispersed worldwide, and they were persecuted worldwide. That happened in 70 AD. Israel as a nation was restored in 1948. The gospel was preached in the whole world. In my lifetime, that happened. As a little boy, I remember hearing, I've got to go on. All right. False prophets will deceive many. Huh? Yeah, I would say that's definitely fulfilled. Apostasy of the Christian church. We're going to read some scriptures about that in a minute. But look at the empty churches. Look in Europe. All the churches, not all, 90%, are turned into museums and theaters. Okay? The churches, the true churches, are underground. They're meeting in homes. In the rest of the world. Hated and murdered. Now, these are the two that are unfulfilled. hatred and murder of Jews and Christians worldwide. I first talked about this in Matthew 9 like 3 weeks ago, and that very week, what happened? Charlie Kirk got shot and killed. They said because he was a hater. You ever watched any of his videos in depth? I never heard one word of hate. What I heard was truth coming out in love. And because it offends people, they hate him. Jesus said, you will be hated in all the world. And you will be killed in all the world before the end comes. All right. So, I mean, in my lifetime, I have never seen, I mean, all the times I've been, for 40 years, we've been in India, all over the world. Around the world, Christians are hated and killed. All right? 100,000 Christians every year have been martyred for Christ's sake around the world. This is the first time in my lifetime, though, that I'm hearing over and over again hatred for Christians because they're haters. And why are they haters? Because they say that homosexuality is a sexual perversion. And I said it last week, or last time I preached, and I'll say it again. Your sexual persuasion is none of my business. But I will tell you what the Bible says and what I believe. The only sexual activity that God blesses and you will find good results from is heterosexual lifelong commitment. Don't hate me for saying that. Statistics are with me, and the Bible's with me. And I do not care, and I certainly do not hate anyone who does otherwise. And I've talked about that at length. So why make it any longer, right, Nancy? Somebody found that funny. Who was it? Eileen. All right, and the last unfulfilled sign is the mark of the beast. And the government requires a sign on your hand or your forehead to do any financial transactions, meaning you're denied dollars without the mark. Right? That certainly is unfulfilled. Certainly the technology is there. Certainly there are many people pushing for that around the world, but so far it's unfulfilled. When I think about this, I'm like, you know, that would solve so many problems. Just boing, boing. You're on the plane. You're good, right? But then I'm thinking, to get the boing, I've got to agree that Christianity is a religion of hate and is against the law. 6-7? Oh no, I did it again. I don't know. I don't know why the teens love when I say 6-7. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Oh, you don't know either. I don't think they know.
None of them know, but they're laughing at you. All of them.
Well, there's some kind of rap song, right? That does. Anyway, we used to say 6 of 1, half dozen of the other, right? So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I talked about that at length in one of my messages. All right. Okay. Let's read Matthew 13. I'll refer to this again. Let's read it.
His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field."
What's a tare? No? What is it? It's a weed. Like probably goldenrod. Ragweed. Okay, go ahead.
And he said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age."
When is the harvest?
The end of the age.
End of what age? End of the age of grace. Yep.
"And the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age.
At the end of what?
Age. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right, so there is a good motivation to not be a tear. Only Eileen gets my humor. All right. Okay, so we just want to real quickly, when's this service over? 9:37. Is it over?
No. You have 10 minutes.
10 minutes, oh, lots of time.
Till it's over.
Till it's over. Oh, I have a song to do. Yeah, when I preach, we hardly ever do that last song. Okay, so in the Revelation, there's three things called the beast, the whore. Whore is King James Version, New American Standard says prostitute, and false prophets. All right, the beast, very simply, is a rogue government that disregards God's laws and purpose for its existence. Paul describes the purpose of government is God-given to protect the innocent and to uphold God's laws, right? You'll know there's a rogue government when you're required to take a sign on your hand or your forehead in order to do financial transactions. You'll know there's a rogue government when Christianity is declared a hate religion. The whore. If you ever do, just do a word study of the word adultery, right? 9 out of 10 times, it's not talking about human beings and their sexual activity. It's talking about religious people who claim to follow God and do not, right? God calls them adulterers. They're not faithful to him. They take the oath. Oh, I'll be married to you, and better for worse, for richer or poorer, till death do us part, right? And then they go and live for the world. They don't live. That's God says. Well, you're an adulterer. You're not following after me. Oh me, oh my, amen. All right. So the false religion, the whore in the Revelation is the apostate church. And Islam. And then the false prophets, we already went over this. Nietzsche, Marx, Darwin. Darwin. All right. Okay. What you need to know. We've already explained the Great Tribulation. Hopefully you're not still confused about the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation essentially is on believers because you refuse to receive the mark. You are hated because you refuse to accept the lies of the world. And I have been saying since 1981 when we started the church that sooner or later, and it was not happening back then, I said if Romans chapter 1 is correct and Jesus was correct, sooner or later the homosexual movement is going to become militant, and just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, that's going to become the deciding factor of whether or not Christians are hated or not. And you're going to have to make a choice. And sure enough, in my lifetime, I've seen it happen. And it's only going to get worse. The temperatures will be turned up. And Jesus talked about it. So the great tribulation, Jesus said, in this world you have great tribulation, Matthew 24. And then when the elect can no longer survive, and that's because they've taken away your ability to get money. That's when Jesus said, I'm going to come and cut those days short. I'm going to come and cut those days short. And we will be called out. And then the judgment of the unbelievers begins. And that's what Revelation chapters 13 through 19 describe. The mountains falling, the water turning to poison, all those different things. That's the judgment of unbelievers, and we will not be here for that. So how to prepare? Realize, right? Ultimately, it comes down to this and then this. It's got to be up here in the head, and it's got to drop down to your heart. Head knowledge will not get you through, but it's got to get down into your heart. There's going to be tremendous pressure to forsake, in this order, one, fellowship of the believers, fellowship of true believers, that is the ecclesia. The Spanish churches have on the front of them, iglesia, right? That's Spanish for what?
Church.
Ecclesia.
Iglesia is church.
Iglesia is the Spanish translation of the Greek word ecclesia, right? Called out ones. But yeah, it's translated church. You're right, honey. And then the faith. All right. So, signs revealing that we are in the end times. True believers, ecclesia, versus false Christians. Lawlessness will be increased. Never in my life would I think I would see political powers of entire states and cities, judges, siding for lawlessness. I'd say it's unbelievable, but here we are. And Jesus prophesied it. Hatred. I mean, not just hatred of Christians, but Christians hating other people. It's unbelievable. But Jesus said, you will be betrayed. In last week's message, I better explain this to the whole congregation. We were a small group, and one of Cliff's questions was, how should you respond if someone, read Matthew, I forget what it was. Anyway, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, what should your response be, right? And come here, Cadence. Come here. This is Cadence. Everybody say, hi, Cadence. All right, Cadence, I want you to slap me on the right cheek. What hand did he use? Which cheek did he slap? Jesus said, which cheek to slap?
Your microphone's in the way.
My microphone's in the way? Slap my, what hand did he use? Left hand. And Jesus was very specific. If anyone strikes you on the, which cheek?
Right
cheek. He wasn't talking the bottom ones. He's talking up here. Thanks, Cadence. Let's give a shout for Cadence. I had this explained to me in 1987 by Velu in India. Because in India, everybody eats with their hands, right? I said that wrong. They don't eat with their hands. They eat with their right hand. Because they do something else with their left hand. Right? There was no toilets back then. I mean, a few places had toilets, but most of the time it was a hole in the ground. Can you imagine, back in Jesus' day, these people did not go into a bathroom, close a door, go and flush a toilet. Right? They had a hole in the ground. Sometimes they had to kick one themselves. But to clean themselves, everybody in ancient cultures and everybody in the third world today eats with their right hand and cleans himself with their left hand. So if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, that was a well-known idiom of that day, of that culture. That if you get struck on the right cheek, somebody's using their left hand, the hand that they clean themselves with, and it's an insult. It's an insult. And Jesus said, if somebody insults you, turn your other cheek. In other words, if somebody makes fun of me because I'm short, I say, well, that's the least of my shortcomings. Believe it or not, I got other faults too. Let's listen to them, right? You just turn it around. You don't say, oh yeah, well you're short too. Oh yeah, well you're a giant. You don't come back and insult. But that's what's happening. I heard. I don't know. I'm not on X. I'm not even on the Instagram. I get messages. I'm rambling a little bit here. All right. So anyway, I don't know where I was. What was I talking about? Say it clearly.
Hatred.
Really? That's what I was only on hatred? Oh. All right. Oh, on X. Christians hating people and saying stuff, hating stuff on social media. Come on, give me a break. To me, that shows me you're not a real Christian. You better repent. You better use 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. There's no way you can be sitting there being a keyboard warrior and taping nasty stuff to people and not be convicted in your heart if you got Jesus inside of you. There's no way. Your conscience is going to convict you. So we're going to get, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Jesus, forgive me. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Persecution. I don't know. I mean, in India, people, when they got baptized, they lost their job, they lost their family, they lost everything. It's not that it's to that point here yet, but I will say, you three guys that got baptized today, right? You put your flesh under, you came up, you identified with Jesus Christ. Now you got on your chest and on your back, Jesus. And the devil's mad. And he's going to try to get persecution to come at you in some way. I've warned you. Be courageous and strong. Do not be afraid. Take the promised land that God's given you. Peer pressure. Anybody here ever feel peer pressure? Oh, man. That's a big one. All right. An indoctrination of the media, education, and government. I could probably talk about that for a little while. All right. The love of most will grow cold. We're going to have difficulty choosing between God's word and acceptance of the world. I mean, some of these things seem like, well, yeah, Rick, of course. We always... Yeah, well, that's a sign of the end times. Paul said the apostasy must happen first. Okay, let's read 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Go ahead, Nancy, please lead us.
Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction.
Go ahead and read 1 Timothy 4:1.
But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith.
All right. So in 2 Thessalonians, this is the Apostle Paul, the Thessalonians were told, Jesus has already come. You missed it. And Paul says, hey, don't be deceived. Right? I don't want to be uninformed. The day of the Lord, that is, you know, what we're talking about here, will not come unless what comes first?
Apostasy.
What's the apostasy? The falling away of Christians, empty churches. And then, secondly, the man of lawlessness. See, this is how I know that believers will see the beast. You will see the man of lawlessness, the one who requires the sign, because Paul said so, that the day of the Lord cannot come until the man of lawlessness is revealed. Okay. How many minutes, honey? Huh?
None.
Service is over? Great. All right. So what's happening right now? The separation of true believers from false believers. I'll do it one more time. This is the last time you're going to see this. There's two tracks, right? Two rails, right? And one of them is following Jesus. The other one is following prosperity in the world. And the closer Jesus' return comes, the wider this becomes. And you have to do a split. And sooner or later, you're going to have to choose, which side am I on? I know what you're thinking. Can he get up from that? What do you think? How many think I can get up? How many think I can't get up? Dennis and my grandkids. Great. There we go. All right. I mean, honestly, that wasn't even hard. I probably only split as far as I knew I could get up from. All right. All right, so this is our last slide. Let's read together 1 John 5:13.
These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
So that you may what?
Know that you have eternal life.
May know. Remember this, the title for this whole message is What You Need to Know. John says, I've written these things that you might know that you have eternal life. And let's read finally Revelation 3:20-22.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
He who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus said, unless the Father draws you, no one can come to me. And I'm just wondering today, who has an ear to hear? Who is the Holy Spirit representing Jesus knocking on the door of your heart? Come on, man, let me in. Come on, man, give me 100%. Come on, man, do the right thing. Your heart's pounding. Your mind's racing. If you could just close your eyes for a moment, giving everybody here the courtesy of privacy. If you've never made that decision, and you want to make that decision today to open up your heart and let Jesus Christ have your life, I want you to look up at me, wave at me, so that I can know that you're making that decision today. Anybody up in the balcony? Anybody here making that decision today for the first time? Okay, would you all please pray this prayer with me together and aloud? Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Come quickly.
I am so looking forward to your return.
I am so looking forward to your return.
Live strong through me.
Live strong through me.
Help me love the way you love.
Help me love the way you love.
Help me love your word.
Help me love your word.
Help me resist evil. I'm counting on you, Jesus.
I'm counting on you, Jesus.
Until I see you face to face.
Until I see you face to face.
Amen.